face as the sun slowly rises above the loch. Back in the castle at the King's City, I only ever saw the sunrise through my murky bolted window. The servants would already be bustling through the courtyard below, and the ladies in waiting would be fussing around me. I can't remember a time when I have been in the presence of such vast, unending silence. I breathe in, then out. Small waves lap the pebbles by my feet. By the time I make my way back up the rocks, at least 15 minutes must have passed, and I'm shivering. The bottom of my nightdress is sodden, and strands of my hair stick to my wet face. I feel better, though, fresher. The cold seems to have shocked some of the dread right out of me. Callum, to my surprise, has relit the fire, even though he was in a hurry for us to set off. He sits in front of it with his thick forearms resting on his raised knees. He seems totally at ease, eating a piece of bread. He'd said he was going to come into the water after me. I'm about to ask him what kind of alpha makes false threats, when he lazily turns his head. He looks me up and down, seemingly taking in the goose flesh on my exposed ankles and the chattering of my teeth. He smirks. The point he is making couldn't be clearer. I didn't listen to him, and now I'm suffering for it.
Cold, princess?
If you were a gentleman.
Not a gentleman.
He grins.
Wolf.
I shiver, and I'm not sure if it's the temperature or the look in his eyes. You're a sadist, that's what you are. My stomach growls, and he pats the ground beside him. I hesitate for a moment before sitting. He breaks off half of his piece of bread and passes it to me. It's stale and hard, but it eases the pang in my stomach. I thought we were in a hurry, I say when I'm finished. He shrugs, leaning back on his hands.
The king can wait.
You would leave your king waiting? I'm nervous enough about this meeting without us showing up late. Does Callum not realize that his king may instantly realize I am of no value? He shrugs, and my insides twist. When he looks at me, his face softens.
I told you, I won't let anyone harm you.
My jaw clenches, and I stare into the flames. If your king decides to execute me, there's not a lot you can do, Callum.
Look at me, princess.
His tone is dark and commanding, and it stirs something inside me.
I don't break my promises.
I look away and rub my cold feet. How does one become the Wolf King anyway? I thought you had alphas, not kings. He tears off a chunk of his bread and chews.
We do. The alphas lead their clans, and the king is the alpha of the alphas, I suppose.
He swallows his mouthful.
It hasn't been easy, getting the alphas to fall into line. Not all have, not yet anyway. We're not known for submitting to others. But we were losing this war with your people. Something had to be done. We had to unite behind someone.
I clasp my hands together tightly. I got a taste of the violence of wolves at the dogfight and the siege. Whoever has got these men, this man, to submit to him, must be frightening indeed. What is he like? I ask. Callum shrugs.
He's all right, I suppose.
His tone is warm, and that, more than anything, eases the panic a little. I've always thought myself to be a good judge of people, and despite his lack of decorum, I do not think Callum is a bad man. I do not think he would support someone who was. Although, sometimes good men can be deceived. I thought you didn't feel the cold, I say, noting how close his legs are to the fire.
I don't, but the warmth still feels nice.
Why don't you feel the cold? He cocks his head to the side.
Why do you ask questions as though they're accusations?
When I merely glare at him, he shrugs.
That's my wolf blood.
He pops the last chunk of bread into his mouth, and I watch as he chews, then swallows. I can't help but remember what he said earlier. Do you really eat people? His eyes widen. He looks me up and down, and I feel naked under his scrutiny.
As much as I'd enjoy feasting on you, Princess, I will refrain,
he says. I get the impression he's telling a joke. Okay, well, good. He grins as he gets up.
We should go.
He holds out one of his big hands. I take it and let him pull me to my feet. He pours the remaining water in the flask over the fire, dousing the flames, before stamping on it a few times. We walk to the horse, which is tethered by a fir tree.
Wait there a moment,
he says, before heading down to the loch to refill the flask. The sun has risen now, and the sky is a bright morning shade of blue. The mountains around us are unspoiled, and there are different shades of green everywhere. To our left, the sun glints off the surface of the loch. The air smells like pine and wood smoke. It's so different to the dirty smells of the city. I breathe it in deeply.
You're allowed to be impressed, Princess,
says Callum gently as he comes up behind me. It's beautiful, I admit.
Aye,
he says softly.
It is.
When I turn to face him, he's looking at me. He averts his gaze.
Come on,
he says, his voice a little rough. He hoists me up on the horse, then mounts behind me. Soon, we're back on the road and on our way to the castle. Chapter 12. The wind picks up around us as we ride out of the valley. It is as wild and untamed as the feelings that whirl around in my stomach. Even the mountains seem to move as the gust blows through the grass and the trees. But the mountains remain whole, and so must I. I can't let anyone see I am afraid of the fate that awaits me when we reach the Wolf King. After a few hours of riding, due to my insistence, we take a break to eat some more bread and hard cheese, much to Callum's exasperation. If I'm honest, I'm not hungry. Every hour we ride brings us closer to the wolves, and a part of me wants to delay what is coming to prepare myself. We're just about to set off again, and Callum is packing up the horse, when the sky opens. I gasp. I have never seen rain like this, so wild and loud and wet. It even makes the rain I've experienced over the past couple of days seem tame. It runs down my face, my lips, making my hair stick to my cheeks and seeping through my furs. It rains in the King City too, of course, but there, it's nothing more than moisture in the air and patters on the cobblestones, a moment's reprieve from the heat from the Sun Goddess. And even then, if I am ever caught out in it, one of the King's guard will put a parasol over my head and usher me indoors as if I will break if the water touches me. Dolls are not supposed to get wet, after all. It frustrated me at the time, but I wonder now if they were right. I think I am breaking. The stone statue I dream about is cracking beneath the raindrops. Before I realize what I'm doing, I'm turning my face toward the sky and stretching out my arms, welcoming the feeling of cold water on my skin. I laugh. I am here, and I am human, and I am alive. A footstep causes the laughter to die in my throat as the realization of where I am and who I'm with crashes through me. Slowly, I turn to face him. I've always thought of rain as an equalizer of men. It doesn't matter if you're dressed in rags or finery. The rain will soak you and make you look smaller all the same. It is different with Callum. It is like the rain strengthens him. Water rolls off his kilt, and his tree trunk calves are muddy. His shirt sticks to his muscles and emphasizes how big they are. I look up at his face, fearing the disgust I'm sure I'll see in his eyes, and wondering if he'll scold me or backhand me, like my father would if he'd witnessed such a scene. He is looking at me as though I am the strangest, most wonderful thing he has ever seen. There's a broad smile on his face, and it's that, more than anything, that makes me realize how dangerous this man, this wolf, is. This is someone who has no need to conceal his emotions, because who would dare judge him or take advantage of him because of them? He looks like if he decided to punch the ground, he would cause an earthquake. Heart thumping, I drag my gaze away.
I'm glad the rain pleases you, princess,
he says.
There's plenty more of that where we're heading. Now, come, we'd better be on our way.
An hour later, I am no longer laughing, nor pleased. The rain has stopped, and I am bedraggled and miserable. You need to find me some suitable clothes to change into when we arrive, I say. You can't present me to your king like this.
You can change into one of my shirts and...
Something suitable, Callum. He sighs. He sounds resigned.
Aye.
Well, good. Some of the nerves in my stomach steady. If I was back home, I'd spend the entire day preparing for something like this. Bathing, braiding my hair, selecting the perfect dress, one that would convey whatever message my father was trying to send. I'd be demure and sweet, or fun and flirty, or a tempting prize to be won. I would be more confident about meeting the Wolf King if I had access to my finery and my costumes. But at least if I can change out of my nightdress, I can make myself somewhat presentable. We fall silent for a while, and the wind begins to calm as we take an overgrown road through the grass and fern. The sounds of bird calls that I've not heard before and running water surround us. The sun is higher now. It does little to warm the Northland's air, but I close my eyes for a moment and bask in the light regardless. When I open them, I notice how it turns the vein-like streams coming down the mountains silver. A strange sense of peace settles over me. I find myself sinking back into the man behind me. Even if I bring my father valuable information about the wolves and their king, he'll still find something to punish me for when I get home. What does it matter if I relax for a while, even if I am sitting inappropriately close to a man who is not my betrothed? I glance down. Callum's thighs are huge, and they rub against mine through his red tartan. A rumor I heard the ladies-in-waiting whispering back at the palace comes back to me, about how wolves wear no undergarments beneath their kilts. I stiffen. If that is true, he is sitting way too close to me.
It's going to be all right, you know,
Callum says, misreading my tension. I can't exactly ask him about his undergarments, so I decide to follow his track of conversation. You don't know that.
I told you I'll protect you. I'll take care of my own.
I'm about to tell him I'm not his, and as such, that means very little to me. But an image of muscle and blood and the sickening sound of cracking bone flashes behind my eyelids. You didn't take care of Ryan, I say quietly. His knuckles whiten as he clenches the reins on my lap. I tense. It was the wrong thing to say. Although it is a valid fear of mine. Because how can he tell me he will take care of me, the daughter of his enemy, when he was going to kill a young man from his own pack? I don't think he's going to respond. I hear him swallow.
No.
His voice is rough.
No, I didn't. I should have dislocated his arm back at the castle when I saw him loading up his horse.
Your regret is you should have hurt him earlier.
Aye. I let him disobey me because I knew about the lass he wanted to save. I was too soft on the lad.
Dislocating someone's arm is hardly taking care of them, nor being soft.
It's better than killing them for your betrothed's amusement.
His tone is harsher than I've ever heard it, and cool shame floods my system. It's not as if I have a say in who I marry.
No? I thought you said there was always a choice, princess.
I grit my teeth. Yes, and the choice was to marry Sebastian and survive, or refuse him, rendering myself useless to my father. I made my choice to survive, and I would make it again.
Aye, and I made my choice too,
says Callum, his tone a little softer.
I chose to rough up the lad in the ring so you'd take pity on him and spare him.
My breath mists in front of my face as I breathe out slowly. You couldn't possibly know I would do that.
I didn't.
he says.
Not for certain. But I could smell your fear and hear your heartbeat. I could sense your repulsion at the men sitting beside you, and I could feel you didn't want to be there in that hall. And yet, you didn't show it. And when your eyes met mine, I could see the steel in them. I could see the determination and the strength and the fire in your soul. Most people would have looked away from me if I'd looked at them the way I looked at you. But you didn't. And I felt the hatred in that gaze. You hated everyone in that room. And you hated me. Goddess, you hated me. You hated me for what I was about to do to the lad.
He lets loose a half laugh that sounds almost like a growl.
No, I didn't know for certain, but I was pretty sure.
Something tightens, then loosens inside me. I'm not sure why his words are having such an effect on me. Perhaps because he is right. Perhaps because, in a room crowded with people, he was the only one who noticed me. I cannot remember a time when anyone else has ever really looked.
I noticed something else about the way you were looking at me, Princess.
His voice is lighter, almost teasing. My eyebrows knit together. What?
You thought I was handsome.
His voice is alight with amusement now. I can hear the stupid grin on his face. I did not. My face flushes as I elbow him in the side. He roars with laughter. I'm surprised he doesn't upset the horse. She's probably used to carrying around big brutes like him, poor thing. I'm about to ask if that's true when we reach the crest of a hill, revealing the valley below. A rugged castle made of stone stands in the distance. It's beside a loch with water so black it looks bottomless. Beyond, there is a backdrop of mountains and a forest that stretches into the distance. My stomach clenches.
There she is,
says Callum.
Castle Madach Ali. No doubt the rest of our party will have alerted the king that we're on our way. Are you ready, princess?
I swallow, steadying my writhing nerves. I will myself to be stone. No, steel. I nod. Yes. Callum tightens his arm around my waist in what I think is supposed to be a reassuring gesture. He takes the reins with both hands, digs his heels into the horse, and we gallop down the hill toward the castle. Chapter 13. The castle courtyard is full of wolves. They look like men and women, but I know what lurks beneath their skin. It's obvious in the way they dress and wear their hair wild and loose, shouting at one another across the stone yard in accents as thick as the grime that coats them. The air is loud and smelly and wild as the wind whips my hair into my face. Ahead, the castle waits for me, like a dangerous beast, with walls made of crumbling grey stone. It's tall and angular in appearance, with a turret that casts a long shadow over the courtyard. As we ride to the heavy wooden doors ahead, a couple of men who are noisily sparring drop their swords to stare at me. It's as if they can sense what lurks beneath my skin as well. I am the daughter of their enemy king. What would they do to me if they knew? My heart beats faster. Callum hooks his arm around my waist and pulls me closer to him. His body is warm, and I can feel his heart beating steadily against my back. It is a stark contrast to the chaos around us.
I was a wee lad the first time I came here.
His voice is a rough whisper that tickles my ear, and I wonder why he is telling me this now, when there are clearly more important things to be concerned about.
It was the first time I'd ever been to the South.
I swallow, focusing on Callum rather than the couple of women carrying dead rabbits who have stopped their conversation to turn their attention toward me. This isn't the South, I say quietly.
It is when you're from Highfell.
His tone is light and conversational, and I wonder if he is trying to distract me from the other wolves that are now casting their gazes in our direction. He pulls gently on the reins of the horse, and we come to a stop not far from the castle doors.
It's the real north up there, harsh and wild, with nights so dark you can barely see in front of your face. When my father brought me down here, You told me all Southerners were soft, but our clans were at war with one another. And that first time I came here, I was afraid.
He shifts behind me, then dismounts the horse. I stiffen, gripping the ridge on the saddle as the cold air seeps through my furs to my nightdress. Even though most of the wolves are openly staring at us, his gaze doesn't move from mine. There's something so still in it that it eases the panic rising in my chest.
But no harm came to me.
He smiles softly.
And no harm will come to you, not while I'm at your side. Okay?
He holds out a big hand. I swallow and raise my chin, pushing the fear deep down. I can't let these people think I am weak. I swing my leg over the horse, then tentatively, I take his hand. His fingers are rough and calloused, and they close around mine. He helps me slide down the horse, one of his hands clasping my waist. I wince when my feet touch the stone, and his jaw tightens as that hint of shame crosses his expression once more. I expect him to scoop me off my feet again. He seems to be in the habit of doing so, and a pathetic part of me wants him to. I ache and my soul's hurt, and I'm tired and dirty. I want to bury my face in his chest so I cannot see everyone looking at me. I want to pretend I'm not here. He squeezes my hand before looking over my shoulder at the 20 or so wolves who are clearly watching us.
Don't you have work to be doing?
His voice is light, but there's no mistaking the authority in his tone.
If you have enough time for idle gossip in the middle of the day, I'm sure Mrs. MacDonald would welcome your help peeling potatoes in the kitchens.
The smaller man who was sparring gives an exaggerated shudder. His accent is so thick, I can only pick up the words kill and dragon. But there are a few titters in the crowd, and Callum grins. I get the impression that whoever Mrs. MacDonald is, she's not very popular. Whether that's the case or not, the tension seems to break, and the people in the courtyard go back to their business. There were few eye Callum and me curiously. Some of the unfriendly looks seem to be directed at Callum as well as me, though he either doesn't notice or doesn't care. Peeling tatties! A female voice comes from somewhere behind Callum's large physique. You could have told them I had some horse shite for them to sweep up. I wouldn't mind the afternoon off. Callum's grin widens.
Aye? Got plans, have you?
Oh, a nice dram of whiskey, soak in the bath. I've not had chance for one in a week.
I can tell.
Callum turns, revealing the girl standing behind him. She looks around my age, slightly taller than me, with long brown hair that's tied in a loose ponytail with a red tartan ribbon. She's pretty, even with dirt smearing her cheek, and the fact that she's dressed like a man in breeches and a linen shirt slick with sweat. Callum may be teasing her, but I can tell she hasn't bathed in a while as well. She's giving off a strong smell of horses. She narrows her eyes at Callum, though the corner of her lip twitches. Cheeky bastard. You survived?
Sorry to disappoint.
They embrace. He pulls her close, and her arm grips the back of his neck as she burrows her head into his shoulder. I was worried about you, Callum, she mumbles. So worried. And I feel like someone has just punched me in the gut. My blood pumps cold, and it is stupid for my body to be reacting this way, because he is a wolf and an enemy. And of course he has a woman back home, because despite all his faults, he is strong and brave and kind. I swallow and try to calm my racing pulse. Callum stiffens, then turns to look at me as they release one another, his expression confused, as though he senses the raw emotion surging through me. The girl's eyebrows knit together as well. Her eyes narrow on my bare feet, on the damp fur cloak, and the dirty nightdress beneath. She gives Callum a hard look, and his jaw tightens almost imperceptibly. Who's this then? She asks, putting her hands on her hips.
This is Rory,
says Callum, and there's a shift in his tone. It's almost as if he's daring her to challenge him.
She was one of Sebastian's prisoners.
I frown, wondering why he isn't being truthful to his wife, or lover, or whoever she is to him, even though I suppose it is not quite a lie. She's not one of us, says the girl. Callum's eyebrows raise.
Does that matter?
I suppose it depends on who exactly she is, and what you hope to achieve by bringing her here.
She gives him another appraising look, then brushes him aside.
Are you okay, lass?
Surprise blooms in my chest at the question. Yes, I'm fine. She arches an eyebrow as if she doesn't believe me.
Aye? Well, if any of these louts give you any trouble, you come find me. I work in the stables.
She gestures to an archway leading out from the courtyard. I'm sure I'll be fine. I stand straighter. I don't want to come across as weak and powerless. I chose to come here, however ill-advised that may be. I don't want to be a victim. I am a princess. She says, taking the reins of Callum's horse.
For the love of Yellow, get her something decent to wear.
You realize I'm your alpha, right?
He says, eyes glinting playfully.
Aye?
She sighs dramatically.
And that's why I spend my days sweeping up after ye.
She pats the horse's neck, gives Callum a fond look, then leads the horse away.
Come on, Dawn.
Fee.
He calls after her.
Aye?
Are the others back yet?
Her brow furrows.
No, I thought they'd be arriving with you.
He frowns as she leaves, clearly troubled. He offers me a half smile.
Probably hungover.
He puts his hand on my lower back to nudge me toward the castle. I stiffen at the inappropriateness of it. His woman friend is still in sight. His eyebrows knit together, but he drops his hand.
Come on,
he says.
Let's get you into some fresh clothes before we meet with the king.
I straighten my back, hold my head high, and walk toward the castle, trying my hardest not to limp when my muscles are screaming and stones dig into my feet. Callum doesn't say anything, and thank the goddess he doesn't pick me up either. He leans over me to push open the heavy oak doors, and we step into an echoey entrance hall. I catch a glimpse of a dark mezzanine, draped with green tartan, and a large oil painting of a great black wolf, before Callum nudges me through a door into a long corridor. Out of sight of the other wolves, my body sags.
Why did you tell your wife I was a prisoner? I ask.
Callum's brow furrows.
My wife? What are you?
Suddenly, he throws his head back and roars with laughter. It makes me jump as the sound echoes around the cold space.
Fiona! She's not my wife. Yalach, don't let her hear you saying that. She'd not be best pleased with you.
Something that feels traitorously like relief blooms in my chest. I swallow, pushing it down.
Oh, you're inappropriate with all women then.
He laughs.
I gave her a hug, princess. She's my oldest friend. But wife? No. Whatever gave you...
He halts and looks at me searchingly, his head tilting to the side. His smile broadens.
What?
I fold my arms across my chest.
So that's what that was all about.
What are you talking about?
You know, princess, that as a wolf, I have exceptionally good senses.
His eyes glint in the torchlight. Then he starts moving again.
You were jealous,
he says. Chapter 14.
I was not jealous.
I march ahead of Callum. My bare feet slap painfully against the flagstones. I have no idea where I'm going, but I need to get away from the aura of amusement he is emitting and the wide grin on his face.
I was caught by surprise when he hugged that woman. That's all. He's a wolf, an enemy. I was not jealous he might have someone back home.
I'm so flustered that as I turn a corner, I barge into a servant. She yelps, and her basket of potatoes spills onto the floor.
Oh, goddess, I say. Watch where you're going.
She sniffs the air, and her lips curl into a snarl.
Human? I take a small step back.
What are you doing here? She growls, advancing. Your kind isn't welcome.
Suddenly, she stiffens. The girl's eyes widen at something over my shoulder, and she bows her head in deference. Her cheeks flame. Callum stands in the doorway behind me. He picks up a potato that has rolled into his boot, then walks over and places it in her basket.
Everything okay, Kaylee?
He asks.
Aye,
she mumbles.
Thank you.
She rushes off, presumably toward the kitchens, leaving me feeling rattled. She hated me, I say. I'm used to indifference within the walls of the palace, but not hatred.
Can you blame her?
I swivel round to face him. I have done nothing to her, and she looked like she wanted to kill me. He sighs.
You're a human, Prince.
He stops himself from saying my title.
Rory.
He walks past, and I fall into step beside him.
Kaylee's father was killed by Sebastian's army in an attack on their village, just north of the borderlands.
He tells me as we navigate the gloomy corridors.
Her mother was taken. She's presumed dead too. The humans burned the whole village. That girl, she barely escaped with her life. So she doesn't like humans very much.
That's awful, I say. I wish we weren't at war. I wish so many people did not have to die. But if the wolves stopped invading our lands, then perhaps we could find peace. 3 villages just south of the borderlands were raided in the last month alone. Many of my people have been killed too. He looks like he's going to reply, but he runs his hand over his mouth instead. His calloused palms make a scraping noise as they brush over his stubble. There's a weary look in his eye, as if the facts I stated are tiring to him.
Anyway, that's why I didn't tell Fiona who you really were. As wolves, our hearing is a lot stronger than yours. If I'd have told her, the whole courtyard would have known you were the daughter of our enemy king and betrothed to a man who has single-handedly tortured and killed many of our people.
Oh, I say softly. They would have turned on me instantly.
Aye,
says Callum darkly.
When the others are back, they'll find out who you are soon enough. I'd prefer to present you to the king first. It'll be easier to protect you if he makes it clear you're not to be touched.
A feeling, darker than the surrounding shadows, fills my chest. What makes you so sure he won't execute me to send a message to Sebastian and my father?
Because he wants the Heart of the Moon as much as I do,
says Callum.
And because I know him. And because, well,
he lowers his voice.
He owes me.
My gaze darts to his face, curious, but he's looking ahead. When we reach the foot of a stairway, my shoulders droop again. Exhaustion is taking its toll on me, and the thought of mustering up the strength to climb who knows how many stairs is not a pleasant one. But there will be some fresh clothes waiting for me at the top at least. Before I can step forward, Callum has scooped me up into his arms and is walking up the stairs. Put me down, I protest, but my heart isn't in it, and my hands automatically clasp around his thick neck. His warmth seeps through the fur cloak I'm wearing, and my body seems to soften into his. One of his hands is curled around the bottom of my thigh, and I can feel his rough palms through my thin nightdress. A burst of heat surges through me. Callum's jaw tightens, and he clears his throat.
You're tired,
he says.
And I gave you the dignity of walking past the others into the castle, but there's no one around now.
I'm surprised he considered how I would have felt to be picked up in front of all those wolves. Then I remember what Sebastian said at the dogfight, about wolves preying on the weak. He must have known I needed to seem strong. I'm fine, I say.
You're not fine. There's no need to put airs on around me. We know each other too well now.
He carries me to a first floor landing, leading me past a number of closed doors. His green eyes glint.
I mean, we've already slept together.
Heat floods my cheeks. Don't you dare go around saying things like that.
But it's true.
I punch his chest. It's like hitting a rock, and he doesn't even flinch. He merely chuckles as he carries me to a door near the end of the corridor. A narrow window lets in a slit of cold sunlight and offers a glimpse of the mountains and the dark waters of the loch outside. He puts me down and his nose twitches.
Ayla,
he says, looking over his shoulder. Seconds later, a pretty girl around my age with long, mousy brown hair rushes out of one of the nearby doors. She's wearing a dress made of the same red tartan that Callum's kilt is made of. She squeals when she sees him. Callum! She throws her hair over her shoulder, then flutters her eyelashes. I've run you a bath, just how you like it. And there's some fresh clothes laid out on your bed. She doesn't seem to notice the weary look on his face, as she loops a strand of hair around her finger and continues to chatter. I was hoping you'd be back in time for the full moon and the equinox feast. I'm glad you didn't miss it. How was the siege? Some of the others were worried you'd not be returning, but I knew. Don't you worry about Callum, I told them. He's... She cuts off. She straightens, her eyes darkening. Who's this?
This is Rory,
says Callum with a tired smile.
I need you to grab her some fresh clothes, a dress and some shoes.
He pauses, thoughtful for a moment.
Put her in the clan colours.
Her smile disappears. She can't wear the clan colours.
I wasn't asking for your opinion on the matter, Ayla,
says Callum. Her cheeks turn red and she lowers her head. Of course. She stomps over to the door she just emerged from. Come on, then. She shoots me a cold look over her shoulder. Callum gives me a reassuring nod.
I'll be right out here.
Taking a deep breath, I head after Ayla. She leads me into a room and shuts the door before hurrying to a wardrobe at the far wall. I linger awkwardly by the single bed against one wall. These are your chambers? I ask. She huffs as she sifts through the fabric. Aye. The room is small but comfortable. As well as the bed, there's an armoire and a dressing table with a mirror on it. A narrow window looks out onto the mountain. The scent of rose petals permeates the air. A moment later, she thrusts a red tartan dress into my hands and some leather boots. Thank you, I say. I want them back later. She scowls, flicks her hair over her shoulder, then exits the room. I breathe out slowly. Even though we're indoors, my breath mists in front of me. I suppose I'll need to get used to people hating me. It will only get worse when they find out who I really am. I inspect the dress. It's simple, much less complicated than some of the dresses I wear at home. As I have no servants to help dress me, that is a good thing. The fabric is thick red tartan, the same as Callum's kilt. I hope that this is a good choice. Callum said he looks after his own, and it makes it seem like I am part of his clan. I only worry about what his actual clan will think of me wearing their colours. If Ayla is anything to go by, they won't be happy. I take a couple of deep breaths to steady my nerves. Then I peel off the fur cloak and wet nightdress and change. The boots are worn and a little too big for my feet, but I welcome the warmth. I assess myself in the mirror. I wince at the face starting back at me. My skin is pale and my eyelids are puffy. There are errant twigs caught in my tangled hair, and I wish I had a brush and a hair tie. I don't look like a Southlands princess at all. I look wild. How can I possibly face a king looking like this? How can I possibly face Callum looking like this? Panic rises, and my eyes burn as I frantically run my hands through my hair. If I'm not perfect, how can I get through this?
Everything all right in there?
Callum's steady voice permeates the door. I close my eyes, then take a deep breath. I am strong. I am stone. I am a statue. Yes, I say.
Good. Let's get this over with, shall we?
I pinch my cheeks, bringing a little colour into them, raise my chin, then nod to myself. I will survive this. I head out into the corridor. Okay, I'm ready to meet your king. Chapter 15. Callum falls into step beside me. I should be taking note of the way through this labyrinth. I should be mapping out the exits and memorizing the rooms in this castle where the wolves await. Instead, my attention is ensnared by the man beside me. His eyes travel over my messy hair, then linger on tartan dress. He swallows before focusing on the corridor ahead. My throat tightens. Is there a problem? I ask, pulling my fingers through the tangled knots of my hair. I do not want to be nervous about meeting with Callum's king, but my stomach is turning over and over. If I just had a little more time to get ready, to compose myself and present myself in a way that is more fitting for the occasion, then perhaps this strange ball of energy inside me would have subsided.
No.
He shrugs.
You look...
Don't say I look nice. I don't. I have not slept properly. I've been on a horse for 2 days, and I haven't even had time to bathe.
I was going to say you look like a wolf.
That's not a compliment. He grins.
But you do look nice.
So you're a liar as well as a killer?
I'm only one of those things, Princess.
We head down a stairway.
And I seem to remember you hitting a soldier on the head when we were at Sebastian's castle, so perhaps I'm not the only violent one here.
I didn't kill him, I protest.
No, you didn't. That was a pretty weak hit.
He raises his eyebrows.
We'll have to do something about that if you're to stay here with us for much longer.
I saved you. The corner of his mouth tilts.
You caused the main a distraction, I suppose.
I cannot believe he is referring to the single most outlandish thing I have ever done in my life as a minor distraction. I have only known Callum for a couple of days, yet he is already the most irritating male I have ever encountered. We head down another flight of steps, then through a narrow corridor. The different stages of the lunar cycle are carved along the stone walls. There's a set of double doors at the end of the corridor, with a colourful coat of arms hanging over it, depicting a wolf and a moon. That must be where we are heading. I wonder if the man behind those doors will be cruel like the king I know.
It's going to be okay, you know,
says Callum softly.
The king is.
He halts. All the muscles along his jaw tighten. For a moment, he is not the teasing Callum with mischief in his eyes. He's the Callum who was in that dogfighting ring, still and solid, a warrior. His biceps bulge against his sleeves. He pushes me against the wall and presses his palm over my mouth. I inhale sharply. He doesn't move for a moment, and his heat burns me. He puts a finger to his lips, and I nod. He steps back, takes my hand, and pulls me back the way that we came. Whatever he has heard or smelt has obviously rattled him. Danger lies ahead. We're almost at the end of the corridor when the doors open behind us.
Callum, says a man behind us. Where are you going?
Shit.
Callum curses under his breath. He takes a breath, composing himself, then turns around.
Duncan, I need to speak with James.
The man in the doorway is shorter than Callum and has blonde hair scraped into a bun. He's wearing a blue tartan kilt, so he's not one of Callum's clan. He grins, then gestures behind him.
Come inside, he says.
Callum pauses for a beat before he sighs. He heads back toward the door, his hand still clasped around mine. I push down my panic. When I first met Callum, I told him I had faced worse monsters than him. I survived my father, who treats me like cattle to be traded to the highest bidder. My brother, who gained pleasure from demeaning me and humiliating me. Even the high priest, who would beat me for my alleged sins. I can face the Wolf King, even if he is so fearsome that males like Callum have submitted to him. Callum and I walk into a room that reminds me of a darker version of the council chambers back at the palace. There are fiery sconces on the stone walls, interspersed with carvings of lovers and wolves and wars and moons. They might depict the story Callum told me about the Eld Wolf and the Moon Goddess. A large green-patterned rug is lying across the flagstones, faded where feet have walked across it. The air smells like wood smoke, even though there is no fire lit in the grate. A thread of cold daylight comes in through the narrow window. My attention is taken by the long table at the back of the room, and the four men sitting behind it. The man, the wolf, in the center is obviously the king. He is huge, with a shaved head, broad shoulders, and a thick neck. On one side of him, there's a male with an unruly beard, and on the other sits a short male with long brown hair. My gaze snags on another male sitting further away from them at the end of the table, the only one who is not looking at me. He's sitting with one arm over the back of his chair as he peels an apple with a small knife. He is strikingly handsome, with a sharp jawline and dark hair. Unlike the others, he is wearing breeches, not a kilt. A strange feeling jolts through me. Recognition, perhaps, though I am sure we've never met. Callum stiffens. Duncan sits down at the empty seat at the left-hand side of the table, and my attention flicks back to where it should be right now. The Wolf King. There's something predatory in his gaze as he looks me up and down. His kilt is the same color green as Magnus's. Callum implied that Magnus's whole clan was horrible. Yet when Callum spoke of the king, his voice softened. It doesn't make sense. I want to run away from this man, but I must play along. I bow my head and curtsy. Your Majesty? There's a beat of silence. Then all the men behind the table roar with laughter, all except the male with the apple who sits at the end.
He's not the king,
says Callum darkly.
Where's James?
He had business to attend to, says the male I mistook for the Wolf King. Did he not tell ye? He left me in charge in his stead.
Callum's eyes narrow.
Aye, course he did.
You're welcome to challenge me for the title, if you wish.
The big man leans forward, resting his sizable arms upon the table.
As it's my castle you're in, I don't imagine it'll go well for you. Nor do I imagine James will be happy if I throw the whole lot of you out.
A muscle twitches in Callum's jaw.
When will James be back?
The man shrugs.
How should I know? A couple of weeks, maybe.
His attention moves back to me.
I'm Robert. You can call me Your Majesty if you like.
His grin twists into a leer, and a couple of the others snicker.
The real question is, who are you? And what are we going to do with you?
Chapter 16. There is a ball of nervous energy inside me. I walked into a den of wolves, and they're looking at me like they're going to devour me. And this is before they've even discovered my true identity, the daughter of their enemy king. It is only the dark-haired man draped over the chair at the end who seems disinterested in my fate.
You're not going to do anything with her,
says Callum. There's a deathly calm to his tone.
She was Sebastian's prisoner, and now she's with me. I wanted to speak with James, but as he's not here, we'll be taking our leave.
He grabs my hand.
No,
says Robert softly. Callum stills, and a thick tension spreads across the room, mingling with the heady scent of wood smoke. He releases me.
No,
he says, his voice equally quiet. Robert nods at me.
Who is she?
I raise my chin. My eyes flit momentarily to the narrow window and the mountains beyond. The freedom that I desire. I'm...
Her name is Rory,
says Callum.
A kitchen maid. Not that it's any of your concern.
A flicker of irritation cuts through the fear. Must it always be this way for me? Men discussing my future as though I have no say in it myself. A crunch momentarily distracts me, as the man at the end of the table bites into his apple. His eyes are on me now, glinting. Callum shifts so that his body shields me from him, even though the man posing as the king is clearly the bigger threat.
Why did you bring her here?
Asks Robert.
That's none of your concern,
replies Callum. Robert laughs darkly.
I won't have a human walking freely in my castle. Though perhaps she can stay with me and keep my bed warm.
A low growl vibrates in Callum's chest, and the humor disappears from Robert's face. Beside him, Duncan rises, and his hand moves to a sword in his belt. It was foolish to come here, to think it would end differently than this. These men will fight for me, and if Callum loses, will I be killed? Or will my fate be even worse? I let a childish dream of freedom and a wolf with kind eyes ensnare me. Now I am in more danger than ever before. Callum's hand curls into a fist at his side.
Oh, let him keep his pet.
The man at the end of the table finally speaks. His voice is as smooth as silk, and to my surprise, he speaks with a Southlands accent.
Did I ever tell you about the time my mother let me keep a rabbit?
He looks at Robert, before going back to his apple.
When she took it from me, I cried.
No one speaks for a moment. Silence hangs over us like a shroud. Robert sinks back into his seat and scrapes his hand over his stubble. He chuckles.
Very well. Keep your pet, Callum. But she earns her keep. I can find a use for her, says the man with the Southlands accent.
No,
says Callum. The dark-haired male leans forward, resting his chin on his hand.
You know, little rabbit, I was in your king's army once. Perhaps we've already met.
There's something pointed in his words, and my whole body stills. Does he know who I am? Callum clasps my hand, but his heat is not enough to thaw the ice that spreads through my veins.
She's under my protection,
he says roughly. Tension radiates from him as he pulls me out of the room and into the corridor. I almost stumble. He is silent as he leads me back through the labyrinth. I shouldn't have come here. I should have stayed with my people and done my duty. I was foolish to think I was clever enough to survive this. Callum squeezes my hand as if he senses the direction of my thoughts, and my pulse steadies a little. Then I pull out of his grasp. He gives me a puzzled look. It's inappropriate, I say quietly, as we climb the stairway. He laughs, surprised.
That's what you're concerned about right now?
Well, no, Callum. I'm more concerned that I'm in a castle full of wolves, my life is in danger, and your plan has failed. Callum stops outside a room.
I'll keep you safe, Princess. You have my word.
And what? You're just going to fight every single wolf in this castle, are you?
If I have to.
He leans over my shoulder to push the door open, revealing bedchambers. His, presumably. A large four-poster bed dominates the space, and my blood heats. I have never been in a man's bedchambers before.
Go on,
he says. He walks forward, nudging me through, then closes the door behind us. He drops into a leather armchair by a window that looks out onto the loch. There is a large armoire on one wall, and a chest at the foot of the bed. The dark wooden floor is covered with a tartan rug, the same colour as his kilt. Above his headboard hangs an oil painting of a rugged landscape. There's a copper bathtub, filled with steaming water, in front of the fire in the hearth. I look at it longingly.
I'm sorry I put you in that situation, Princess,
says Callum. I shift on my feet. What do we do now? He blows out air.
Honestly, I'm not sure. I don't think anyone would be foolish enough to try anything with you under my protection, but I don't like it. And if they find out who you are...
He shakes his head.
Either way, it looks like you'll be staying with us for a while longer yet.
That man, the one with dark hair who was sitting at the end of the table, he knows who I am. Callum runs a hand over his full lips, then leans back in his chair.
Aye, I think so too.
Who is he?
His expression darkens.
His name is Blake. He's the most dangerous male in the Kingdom of Wolves, and he has the power to either help us or destroy us. There's a feast tonight. I'll speak with him then, and I need you to come with me.
Chapter 17. It takes everything in me not to crumple into a pile on Callum's floor. A feast? Back home, I'd relish the idea of going to a feast. The balls, the gatherings, the summer festivals. I lived for those events. As stifling as they could be, they were the only times when my father saw me as useful, even if I was just a prop to him, or a trophy to dangle in front of visiting kingdoms. But I have been riding for 2 days, and I haven't bathed properly, and I don't have my clothes, or my servants, or my makeup. I shake my head. No, I'm not in the mood for a feast. I will retire early tonight, and you can speak to Blake alone. Callum sighs.
Why don't you sit down?
He nods at the big four-poster bed to my side, and my cheeks heat. I'm an unmarried woman. He can't possibly expect me to sit on his bed. I would rather stand.
I'm not leaving you alone. You're coming with me.
No. He arches an eyebrow.
No.
This man is a mountain, and he's used to getting his own way. There is only one card I can play to get the upper hand here. If you drag me into your great hall, I will tell everyone who I am. I fold my arms. It will cause carnage. And what will you do then?
That would end worse for you than it would for me, Princess,
says Callum.
Believe me.
So you're not going to protect me?
Oh, I would protect you from the wolves outside these doors. But if you're going to do something reckless, it's me you'll have to contend with.
I feel as if he's just doused me with cold water. You're threatening me.
Aye,
he says. Though I've seen him threaten people before, with his muscles hard and his posture dominant. And he doesn't look like that now. He looks relaxed, his expression soft, a playful glint in his green eyes. Is that how you became the big strong alpha? I demand, threatening women you kidnapped.
Not quite.
I fight the urge to ask him how he became an alpha, pushing down the intrigue that blooms inside my chest at how this infernal kingdom of wolves actually works. Now is not the time. Well, what are you going to do to me? I ask. The armchair creaks as he leans forward, and his heat and scent wash over me.
I'd start by telling everybody about our secret.
What secret?
About our sleeping arrangement last night.
He clucks his tongue.
What will people think? A princess and a wolf? The scandal!
My cheeks heat, and a feral sound escapes my lips. A slow smile spreads across his face. What kind of gentleman are you? I demand.
I'm not a gentleman, remember. I'm a wolf.
The amusement doesn't leave his expression as he nods at the bed.
Sit down.
No. He rises from his seat, and his body swamps mine. I have to tilt my head back to meet his gaze.
You must be tired,
he says. He steps forward, and his chest bumps into mine. I stumble onto the bed, quickly pushing myself upright. My hands sink into the soft, downy quilt. His chest is right in front of my face. One of his buttons must have torn off in the siege, and I catch a glimpse of the skin and toned muscle beneath his shirt. I swallow. Is this how you get your way? By pushing people around? I ask.
That's one of my methods of persuasion, aye.
He crouches in front of me, placing one of his knees on the tartan rug.
I don't usually have to work so hard to get someone to do something. You're very stubborn, aren't you?
He puts a hand on my thigh, and all the muscles in my body clench. He quickly removes it.
Come with me.
He sighs.
Please, this is my fault. I put you into this situation. Let me fix this.
There is something so earnest in his eyes, so lonely, that I fight the urge to touch his cheek.
Despite his infuriating arrogance, I can tell this is a man who feels the weight of his responsibilities and decisions. This is a man who bears that weight so others don't have to. Something softens inside me, and vulnerability flickers in his eyes as if he senses it. I sigh. I'd rather speak with Blake in different circumstances. If I was feeling rested and sharp, I'd be more confident I could gain the upper hand. But I cannot deny that I am curious about the dark-haired wolf with the Southlands accent. I'm sure my father would be interested to know about a wolf who claims to have served in his guard, too. Fine, I roll my eyes. I'll come to your feast, but I need to wash first. Callum smiles. When he steps away, the air feels lighter and I can breathe again. He nods at the copper bathtub behind him.
Take it. It'll make you feel better.
Where are you going?
I'll be outside.
He leans against the doorframe.
Unless you'd like me to help you with your bath.
I make a strangled sound at the thought of being naked in front of Callum with his hands on me. How can you say such things?
What? It was a genuine offer.
No, it wasn't. You're trying to annoy me. He grins.
Maybe a wee bit. You're cute when you blush.
My cheeks flame, and I hate myself for it. Brute! He chuckles as he steps into the corridor.
We have a few hours until we'll need to head to the Great Hall,
he says over his shoulder.
Wash and get some rest. You'll need your strength. Feast's here.
He drags his teeth over his bottom lip, his eyes glinting.
Well, let's just see. They can get lively.
And with those ominous words, he shuts the door behind him. Chapter 18. A floorboard creaks, and my eyes jolt open. It takes me a moment to realize I'm lying on Callum's bed. My body heats. Before today, I'd never even been in a man's bedchambers before, let alone fallen asleep on their soft quilt, with my hair soaking their pillows. At least I had the grace to clothe myself in the tartan dress after my bath. Even if my feet are bare, and my skirts have risen to my thighs. I can smell him on the sheets, soft and masculine, and my cheeks flush. The room is dark, though a fire is crackling in the hearth, emitting a soft glow. When I glance at the narrow window, I notice the crescent moon outside. It is nighttime already. Beside the window, Callum sifts through his wardrobe. He's wearing his kilt, but his shirt now hangs over the arm of his chair. I bite my bottom lip. I saw him topless when he was in the fighting ring, and his hard muscle had seemed fearsome. Now, I find myself admiring his broad shoulders and the way that the muscles in his back shift as he pulls out a shirt. His skin glistens, and his hair is darker, as if wet. He must have washed too.
Good sleep,
he asks without turning. I shut my eyes, my breath hitching.
I know you're awake, princess. Your heart is hammering.
The floorboards creak as he turns.
You're not afraid of me, are you?
He sounds concerned, ashamed even. The air shifts as he approaches. My pulse quickens, and I'm not sure why. I do not fear him, even though I probably should. He breathes in sharply, then places something on the bedside table beside me.
If it makes you feel safer,
he says. I open my eyes. The letter opener he took from me during the siege now sits beside a half-burned candle. I push myself up onto the pillows and take it, turning it in my hand. The silver gleams in the dim light. I frown. You would give me this?
I don't want you to fear me.
I stare at the tiny knife, then at the size of Callum, and fight the urge to roll my eyes. I don't think I could do much damage with this. An answering grin spreads across his face, and he shrugs.
Small things can be deadly too.
He places his shirt onto the bed and crouches in front of me. His face is close to mine, and I fight the urge to drop my gaze and look at his bare chest.
He closes his fingers around my hand and brings it close to his neck so that the blade is almost touching his skin. My breathing quickens. What are you doing?
Go for the throat.
His voice is rougher than usual. I swallow, then nod. The air heats, becomes unbreathable. He pulls away and I exhale. He releases a long breath too, and I wonder if I wasn't the only one affected. Turning around, he shrugs on his shirt and buttons it up. I don't fear you, I say quietly. His shoulders soften.
Good. You have no reason to.
He nods at the blade, clutched in my hand.
The other wolves here, and the particular wolf we'll be meeting with tonight.
His expression darkens.
Be on your guard, princess, and stay close to me.
I place the blade in the pocket of my dress. Callum holds out his hand.
Ready?
My stomach is roiling, but I allow him to pull me to my feet. He offers me a half smile.